As news of a second major cyber breach at the Office of Personnel Management spread, the Office of Management and Budget gave agencies a month to fix their systems. Federal CIO Tony Scott ordered agencies to take immediate and specific actions in the so-called 30-day sprint. Well, now those 30 days are nearly up. Ralph Kahn is vice president of Federal Attainium. He joins me now to assess whether these measures could have had much effect. Ralph, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning.
All right. So we've always heard, and all the cybersecurity experts say, you've got to build it in. You can't add it on later. This sounds really like closing the barn door after the pig got out. Or could they really have made a difference in 30 days?
So, you know, the old Chinese proverb says the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, right? So you got to begin. And just because the endpoint is far, far away doesn't mean you should start. But yeah, 30 days, it will move them in the right direction. Getting systems patched, improving authentication, you know, those are a couple of the keys for the OMB sprint. And those are things that are all good. I'd be very surprised if large agencies could actually get all that done in 30 days.
Well, there's a couple of elements here. Let's talk about each one separately. One of them is the use of the HSPD-12 or, you know, an ID card, presumably a smart card with a chip in it, to dramatically increase how many people are using that as a, I guess, second factor to get into the network. And doesn't that require some infrastructure, such as card readers at every workstation?
So it does. So that's one of the reasons why 30 days is a very challenging goal. You've got to get the infrastructure. You've got to install it. You've got to train people how to use it. You've got to issue the cards themselves. And even once you're done that and you've stood up that infrastructure and everybody logs in that way, many of the applications that reside on those systems don't support two-factor authentication. So while access to the system initially requires two-factor authentication, once somebody's in, that's in a lot of cases not an effective mechanism because a lot of the applications they use every day weren't architected to support it.
And so that gives you the proverbial hard on the outside and soft and mushy on the inside.
Right. So it'll take a lot longer to convert all those legacy applications to more modern security practices.
All right. And besides, you have to acquire the card readers and so forth. And what about people that are doing most of their access from mobile devices? And by mobile devices, I also count the modern generation of laptops, which have solid-state hard drives, and they act almost like tablets, and they're very thin and light. And so there's no really practical way that I've seen to be able to use a second factor that is a physical item, like an HSPD-12 card.
So so with mobile laptops, you can certainly do that because they have USB ports and you could plug in a little portable HSPD reader, CAT card reader. With mobile devices, there are a couple of things that you can do, and a lot of the commercial organizations have moved this way. If you look at Google and Yahoo, they all support what I'll call lightweight two-factor authentication. If you're authenticating from a device, it will require you to receive a code on some other known device and input that code so it knows, hey, that device is in the hands of the person who owns this particular account and they're authorizing its use. And while it's not perfect, it makes it a lot harder for somebody to create unauthorized access from that device.
And what if the device is the phone itself?
So that would require, so that's a scalability thing, right? If a bad guy gets a phone, that's one thing. They might be able to get your phone and they might be able to use it for a little while. But again, once you've discovered your phone is lost, typically people deactivate their phones. So it creates a short window of vulnerability, but not a very big one.
And moving on to another thing that is part of this 30-day sprint is the idea of changing or buttoning down the access privileges for trusted users. Because I think in some of the cyber breaches we've seen, including the ones at OPM, people seem to have had administration rights and to be able to access servers, but not at the server itself. And that seems like a pretty complicated thing to implement throughout a large-scale distributed system.
So the reason access privileges have kind of exploded across organizations is because a lot of the system management software that's in use is very, very old, and it doesn't adequately support the discrimination of various roles and responsibilities, and it doesn't allow you to give each user just the privileges they need. And so in a lot of cases, as an expediency to get their job done, because there's a lot of pressure on IT workers, they've been given out the administrative credentials so that they can get their job done, and there's not been a lot of follow-up in terms of, oh yeah, your job for that is done now. Let's take it away. Ideally, you use more modern pieces of technology that allow you to be very discreet about the privileges and credentials you give someone. And in really sensitive cases, you allow them and require them kind of a four eyes approval, meaning if you want to do something, another set of eyes has to be on it before that command actually executes. That's kind of the gold standard, I think.
Isn't that what the NSA did after Edward Snowden did all of his damage? They instituted a policy that to enter a server room even, or to go into a server in some way, you do need someone to come with you, and that's both permissions are required.
Yeah, so I can't speak specifically to what NSA did, but I can tell you that is a standard that is used throughout the government and industry in places that implement very tight security.
I mean, if you're like a stock exchange or a large bank or a large retailer, then and everything, or an airline, and everything depends on those servers. In other words, in most cases, one guy just can't walk in and fiddle around in there.
That's right. And that's a good first step, right? That means if the front door is locked and it's got an extra key that somebody else has to help you through. Again, we also have to be watching what happens inside. Like, as you said, kind of the soft, chewy center. And we have to start thinking about when we deploy internal applications, they have to be as secure as the perimeter. Because if they're not, there are lots of ways in, right? All of the things that we've been talking about are great as a start, but inevitably a well-funded adversary will get through all of those things. If by nothing else is something as simple as a spear phishing attack. And once they are on the inside, if you don't have as good security on the inside, you're in the same bad place you were, 6 months or 12 months earlier. I think the key for a lot of federal agencies is assuming that you're going to get hacked, right? Today's technology is such that the defender has to be right 100% of the time and the attacker has to be right only once. And if you make that assumption, then what you really need are technologies that help you spot the intrusion a lot faster. Einstein 3 is a good start, but you also need technologies that address that same speed and that same visibility on the host.
We're speaking with Ralph Kahn. He's vice president of Federal at Tanium, and that's one of the things they're looking at is logs, activities being logged, and also reporting when any suspicious activity is seen. Do you think in the average federal network and the tools that monitor it, they can see things as subtle as the kinds of worms that are being deployed now that are very tiny pieces of software that might be lying dormant for many months before they activate?
So one of the concerns about today is kind of the technologies that's installed at most federal agencies, they might get to that information or they might use analytic platforms, but by the time they see it, it's weeks or months later. And a lot of damage, as you can see from the OPM breach, can be done in a fairly short period of time by a determined adversary. What agencies really need to be looking at are technologies that can show them what's going on endpoints right this second. And so when a threat appears, if DHS finds the indicators of compromise, every one of those agencies in 30 seconds or 60 seconds can look across their entire enterprise and say, okay, these indicators are here or they're not. And if they're here, I want to take some automated action. We begin to fight the battle at the same speed as the adversary when we can do that. And that's one of the things that one of the reasons Tanium was founded, to enable customers to fight the battle at the speed the adversaries are attacking at.
And I'm trying to get a sense of the process here, because in a large organization, isn't this something you should be doing continuously all the time, whereas a 30-day sprint seems like a pasteover job to get around neglect that has been going on possibly for years?
So you're right. So today's standard has been, let's be compliant, let's look periodically, right? And that period might be a year, it might be 6 months, it just depends on the agency and the resources. You really want to be continuously compliant every morning. So when a head of an agency or a CIO walks in every morning, they need to know all their patches are up to date. All of their STIGs and their standard configurations are applied and consistent and operating. And that really should be continuous. That should be every day. And again, most existing technologies that organizations have and they've built their processes around won't give them that level of fidelity. And that's a reason why companies like Tanium are getting a lot of interest among federal customers, is because it allows them to be compliant every morning when they walk in.
And so do you think at the end of this 30-day sprint, it'll be possible to know whether things are better off than they were 30 days ago?
So, I mean, I think by definition they will be better off. It's never going to be good enough, as I mentioned earlier. I think it's important that agencies assume they're going to be penetrated, they're going to be hacked, but they're beginning. They're starting the process of being compliant. They're starting the process of looking at security in that different light, improving the controls on authentication. All those are really important steps forward.
Ralph Kahn is Vice President for Federal at Tanium. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.